Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Dia Abdo, an associate professor in the Department of English at Guilford College, started the Every Campus a Refuge movement in 2015 to engage colleges and universities in addressing the Syrian refugee crisis. News and Views talked with Abdo earlier this year about the program and the reaction to it in her community. Well, thank you for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
You have been working on this issue of refugees and helping folks who need help for quite a while. I wanted to ask you, before I get into Every Campus a Refuge and what you've been doing for the last several years, what was your reaction when you first heard about the executive order from the president?
Well, I was shocked and dismayed and terrified for all the people who now will be denied life-saving assistance, admittance to the U.S. These are folks who are fleeing terrorism, fleeing persecution, fleeing violence and death, many of them small children and women who now have nowhere to go.
How do you combat the stereotype that the president seems to apply to these folks when, as you say, most of the people who are affected are children, are women, are elderly, are people who are fleeing just horrific conditions?
Well, we speak louder and harder and keep speaking as loud and hard as we can. And I think universities and colleges are uniquely positioned to do that because we hold powerful voices in our communities. And so when we speak up in ways that are resonant, in ways that are far-reaching. Our communities have long tendrils, our friends, our alumni, our local communities, our global communities. So when we speak up, a lot of folks hear us. And if we back up what we're saying with action, then I think we can really make a difference in busting myths about who refugees are.
Tell us about Every Campus a Refuge.
Sure. Every Campus a Refuge started as an idea in the fall of 2015. And it was really in response to sort of my own personal despair about the refugee crisis. I myself am a refugee, a child of refugees to Jordan. I'm first-generation Palestinian. And I came to the U.S. as an immigrant. So on a personal level, I felt keenly the refugee crisis. And then when the Pope called on every parish in Europe to host a refugee family, I thought, what a wonderful idea. If every small community took responsibility for one family, then that could make a huge difference in resettling refugees very quickly without taxing one particular region or one particular area. I'm Arab. I'm Muslim. In my tradition and my language, the word for university campus is haram, which literally means sanctuary. And so I thought, that's great. I mean, a campus is a kind of a parish, especially if you're a Quaker campus or a Methodist campus. And Guilford College is a Quaker college. We have a long history and tradition of taking in dispossessed and displaced individuals. Our campus grounds was part of the Underground Railroad. So we acted as a safe house for people escaping terror and violence, folks who are displaced and dispossessed. And so it made perfect sense to me that a campus is, in fact, a small parish. It's a small city. It's got all the facilities that you would need to house and resettle refugees. And so it came from a confluence of all of those various ideologies, including the concept of radical hospitality, welcoming the stranger, which is integral to almost all faith traditions.
What was the response of the community?
Wonderful. It was wonderful. I mean, I just walked into our president's office, Jane Fernandez, and said, I have this idea. I want you to give me a house. And she said, of course. And we very quickly educated our community on the current refugee crisis. We brought in refugee resettlement agency directors to talk to us about what it's like to resettle refugees in Greensboro. And we quickly got folks who were invested in being volunteers, staff, faculty, students, alumni, partners, friends, staff and faculty from other colleges. And we housed our first refugee in January of 2016. He stayed with us for 5 months. And then we housed a Syrian family in March of 2016. They stayed with us for 3 months. We housed another Syrian family in June of 2016. And currently we're housing an 11-member family that's going to stay with us until May.
What are the biggest challenges that those refugees face when they come here?
Adjustment, acclimation, trauma, and then having very quickly to live, pay rent, buy food when you're just trying to figure out where you are. And so I think what every campus or refuge does is provide a softer landing so that you're not worrying about rent, you're not worrying about utilities, you're not worrying about food, you're not worrying about babysitting, you're not worrying about language because folks are helping you with ESL instruction. So I think it's what they have a hard time with is that they're provided with very limited funds upon their arrival, and then they have to figure out how to acclimate very quickly while also trying to financially adjust.
It's interesting. I know that from reading about your program, one state representative asked the college to rescind its offer. Now we're in the throes of the Trump sort of rhetoric. And I wonder, what do you think we have to do to sort of change the tenor of this debate? You mentioned speak out, but I guess the people who are actually dealing with these refugees and the refugees themselves have the best stories to tell.
Yes, absolutely. So I think the more we advocate, and advocacy can take many forms. You can speak on behalf of people. It's very powerful when people speak on behalf of themselves, when we tell stories. It's very easy to stereotype people when we think of them en masse, when we think of them as a group of people. The more we individualize, the more we humanize, the more we're specific, the more we tell stories about very specific human beings who have very human experiences that are very much like us, the more we share meals with people, the more we talk to them, the more we spend time with them, the more we realize we are very much like them. We want to live and we want to love and we want to find a safe home to be. So I think, yes, telling stories is an important part of that, and campuses can do that. We have folks here whose job it is to use language to tell specifically those stories.
Do you ever get discouraged?
So I often tell people that as a Palestinian, I built up an emotional resilience, you know, after 60, 70 years of occupation, the 4 years of an administration is more tolerable to me. So, yes, of course, I do get feelings of hopelessness, but then I remember that I have much power and privilege in my community as a professor on a college campus. I can't be the one who gets to be hopeless because I can do something.
And what would you say if you had a chance to talk to President Trump?
I would say that, first of all, I would like you to look at the facts and then, based on those facts, determine who indeed is a threat and who isn't. And then perhaps meet some of the folks that you are banning from this country who are coming to America because of the promise of America, because they want to be in the kind of America that he purports he wants America to be. So we all have similar goals in the sense that we want a safe haven for our children. We want to live in loving communities, and he's targeting the wrong people.
Well, thank you very much for what you're doing and how much it means to North Carolina and all the folks that you're helping and all the folks you're inspiring. We really appreciate you being with us.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
Up next, how the burden of student debt is affecting seniors. Stay with us.